So, Brian, talk a little bit about how different healthcare is and why Medicaid expansion is different for a rural community versus a more urban community.
We all know that the social determinants of health have been proven to be such a key indicator of overall health status, both individually and, of course, individuals make up communities. So if you want to know how healthy people are and what their cost of care is going to be, you could look at social determinants, the socioeconomics of a community. And so rural communities simply look different than urban communities. There's less resource, there's less density of people, and all of that leads to a scarcity of resource and a lack of access to not only hospitals, but physicians and pharmacies and other things that help keep us well. In addition to that, there's less jobs, there's less job security, there's less economic insecurity in rural communities. And not all that simply means that the social determinants have to be supported more in those areas if we're going to have equal access to care and we're going to have healthier communities. So when you look at North Carolina, which is the second largest rural population in the U.S., that's a lot of people that live in rural communities. And so we have to pay attention to those socioeconomic conditions. ECU Health serves a very large rural population. In fact, we have as our mission not just the improvement of the care in East, but we've set our target to be the national model for rural health care delivery. And it's because we have a 29-county area the size of the state of Maryland that is entirely rural, where about 1.5 million people live. So we really understand these challenges, these socioeconomic challenges of rural health care, and we want to use our resources to build a model that the nation can learn from. We're the leading provider in our community. We have an academic center. We have hospitals spread around and about 120 clinic locations. And even with that, it takes a tremendous amount to provide enough access in such a large landmass where people are not densely located so that everyone has ready access to care. But if they don't have financial security to receive that care or to seek that care or take their medications, then we will see higher chronic diseases and we'll see those diseases manifest in more hospital utilization than you might find in urban environments. So that's why expansion is so important, because offering that access to coverage in those rural communities will ultimately help people seek preventative care, lower their likelihood of needing hospital care, especially in light of the fact that physicians and hospitals are not immediately accessible to them as they are in urban environments.
So safe to say that the health of our rural populations has a direct correlation with the health of our state.
Absolutely, because we are all in a common pool of resource in the state of North Carolina. It's just that so much of North Carolina in particular is rural that if we don't focus on the challenges of rural health care, it will drain resource from the state, not just from people receiving expensive health care because of unmanaged diseases, but the lack of worker productivity and the lack of opportunity for families to advance in those rural communities. All of that is really important to North Carolina's future.
Okay, and so you mentioned the expensiveness of healthcare. Who is paying, or who's paying the broad amount of the state's portion of Medicaid expansion?
Well, the hospitals came together to help make sure expansion was passed. We came together and said we will participate in covering the state's portion of Medicaid expansion. There's an estimated $500 million per year that are being paid by the hospitals to sponsor the state's portion of expansion. That leads to the federal portion being pushed into the state to support the resident.
When Medicaid expansion was passed, that included the Healthcare Access and Stabilization Program, and because everybody likes acronyms, it's HASP, H-A-S-P, and that is a federally funded program, right? Is that, that's what gives the hospitals the ability to pay for the expansion, right?
Right. HASP is a separate federal program, separate and apart from expansion. What's connected is that with expansion, there are more access to HASP funds at the federal level. And so we know that the hospitals in our state will benefit from the HASP payments enough that gives us some way to offset us covering, or the hospitals covering, the state's portion of expansion of Medicaid. So it'll boost Medicaid reimbursement for hospitals at a rate that's closer to the cost of care. Hospitals, you know, receive about 72 cents for every dollar that they spend on providing to Medicaid beneficiaries and uninsured individuals. This leads to a gap of about $2.3 billion. While the expansion in HAS funds won't solve this problem, it certainly helps us stabilize healthcare delivery by helping close that gap between what it costs to deliver care and what we receive in these programs.
And so is it true that rural hospitals, you know, have very low or possibly non-existent profit margins?
Yeah, many rural hospitals, if you look around the country, rural hospitals are in a state of financial insecurity. You see closures of rural hospitals all over the country. That's because of the economic difference between an urban environment and a rural environment. It costs more money for a rural hospital to deliver the same care because we have to have multiple access points for patients. There will be less number of patients for every operating day of a hospital, but the staffing costs are the same and sometimes more. The cost of infrastructure can be the same. Our cost of medication and supplies are the same, and the cost of having physicians. It's all cost the same in a rural environment versus an urban environment. But as we said earlier, rural environments have less payer potential. There are less insured people. There will be less people with the means to pay for their hospitalization. And because of those social determinants of health, there's often more patients receiving their care in a hospital environment than a physician office. And so you'll have higher emergency department visits that cost more money to take care of the same disease. And so a rural environment is a more expensive environment for delivering health care because of all those conditions. And then when people don't have ready access to physicians or don't seek care or don't take their medications and care for themselves, it simply costs more money to take care of them and they have higher risk. If you add that to the fact that you don't have as much density of the population with immediate resources, you're more likely to have more readmissions and more challenges in keeping them well once they leave a hospital environment. So if the cost of care are the same, it costs us the same to render the care, but the reimbursement is lower, and you have these complications that arise from the social determinant issues and people not being as well, it simply is a more expensive thing for a rural hospital to stay in business. And that's why you see them closing all around the country and the margins being far suppressed when compared to an urban environment.
Okay, so say somebody is listening to this right now. They're not insured. They don't have insurance, which it's still amazing to me how many people in this country and state don't have insurance. And they're worried about applying for Medicaid because, A, I don't want to accept government assistance, or B, I'm worried that, you know, everyone's going to know that I'm applying for Medicaid. Is the application process private, and why should people not worry about those things?
Well, first off, it is so important that if anyone has any concern that they seek out help to get these answers. We want to encourage anyone who's uninsured to take the steps toward getting insurance through Medicaid. Unlike regular insurance, Medicaid enrollment is open year-round. Expansion allows coverage for adults that are 19 to 64 years of age. You could be working. You could have an income of $20,000 and qualify for it. And if you're part of a family of three that earn, let's say, $34,000 a year, you could qualify for Medicaid expansion. So it's not just for those that have no jobs and no income. For, as you say, people sometimes are reluctant because they're afraid it won't be private. It is entirely private. So there's no reluctance to seeking out this assistance. All that will be in private. Parents can now join their children to receive care, so it helps the families be healthy. If you want to learn more about this, contact the local Department of Social Services. You can go to medicaid.nc.gov or call the North Carolina Medicaid Contact Center at 888-245-0179.
So the website again is medicaid.nc.gov and the North Carolina Medicaid Contact Center is 888-245-0179, and we'll post all of this on our website so folks can have ready access to it as well. Brian, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us and break some of this down about Medicaid expansion. Is there anything that I did not include that you would like to add?
I don't think so. I think we covered everything. Thank you so much for having me today.
Brian Floyd, Chief Operating Officer of ECU Health and also board member with the North Carolina Healthcare Association. We thank you for taking the time to help educate us about Medicaid expansion and all of the many facets of Medicaid expansion that are important to our listeners.